I'm sure you all have heard this verse before. It's really one of the most popular verses in the entire Bible. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I remember being a child, and as a child, for the first 7 years of my schooling, I actually went to Christian school. And this was actually one of the first verses I had to memorize. But even with all the verses that I memorized, and the way we would memorize verses is we would memorize them through song, this one stuck with me. And when you read the verse, it's obvious to see why. There's a certain feeling that the verse gives you. It feels like there's some kind of energy that is transferred from the words into your body. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. There are dreams that come about when I read these words. There are things that I start to think about. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And my mind goes wild as to the possibilities. I can be a millionaire because I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can get that brand new house because I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can go to that interview, I can kill it, I can get that new job, I can get that promotion because I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can get that brand new house, I can ask that girl or that guy out on a date and be successful and get a yes because I can do all things through him who strengthens me. There's no dream that I can't reach. There's nothing that I can't attain because Jesus has given me the power to do all things. At least that's what I believe when I just read the text on face value. When I dig a little bit deeper and I actually look at the context of the verse, I actually realize something. When I use this verse and apply it to all of the positive things and dreams that I can dream of in life, I realized that I'm actually stripping this verse of its power. You see, there's something that Paul was trying to get us to understand when he wrote this letter, when he wrote these words down. There was some kind of realignment that he was trying to help us see and understand because our minds can be focused on things of the world. And there was something else that he was trying to get us to focus on. And when I read this text and I read this text in its proper context, I'm able to pull out what it is that it's really saying. And there is an immense power that comes from understanding what Paul is truly trying to say. So, let's put this verse in context. When Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, he actually wrote this while he was in prison. He was imprisoned by the Romans, and we don't know exactly, well, I shouldn't say we, but scholars don't exactly know where Paul was when he was imprisoned. But for the most part, they believe that he was imprisoned by the Romans. And that means that he was in a Roman jail cell. Now, wherever you were, in whatever province of Rome you were in, all of the jail cells were pretty much the same. They were dark, they were dirty. There were no windows, there was no fresh air coming in, no light of the sun to beat down on your face. And for the most part, you were chained all day long. Now, in Paul's case, because he was a Roman citizen and because he was a political prisoner, he had a little bit more leeway, but he was still in a dark and dirty cell all day long. You see, the Roman jail cell was designed to be a punishment in and of itself. Even if the prisoner wasn't going to be sentenced to lashing, even if the prisoner wasn't to be sentenced to death, the jail cell was supposed to be enough to break the individual that was in it. And yet, I find Paul writing this letter. And in this letter, there are things that he says to his favorite church in Philippi. He says things like, be strong in the Lord, be strong in Christ. He tells his church to have the one mind that is in Jesus Christ. In this letter, he tells his church to rejoice in the Lord. Can you imagine that? Sitting in a jail cell with nothing that you own except the clothes on your back, with your literal freedoms stripped away. And yet somehow Paul is finding the strength to encourage someone else. As a matter of fact, when you continue to read this letter, when you get down to the end of the letter, as you get down to the closing, which is where we find these words, Paul says something else that's even more strange. You see, what happens in the letter is we find out that this church, the Philippian church, has sent Paul a gift. And scholars believe that this gift that they sent Paul was actually money. So Paul finally receives this money that the Philippians give. And when you look at chapter 4 and you read verse 10, this is Paul's response to what has happened. Paul says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity." Verse 11, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Paul says that he is not in need. How? Like I said before, Paul owns nothing. Paul has no money. The only thing that Paul owns are the clothes that he is wearing that day. And it's not like he has a dresser that is full of clothes that he can pick out every morning. His literal freedoms are gone. He cannot feel the sun. He can't just walk outside. He has no money, he has no food that belongs to him, and yet Paul can say that he is not in need. Now, when I read that, I'm baffled because I know how I feel making money every day, having food in my pantry every day. I know how I feel when my budget doesn't work out the way I planned it. When I get down to the end of the month and I only see $5 in the bank account, I get stressed. And I start saying, "Lord, I need just a little bit of help. I need a little bit of something." But the fact is, I still have a little bit of something. Paul has absolutely nothing. And yet he's able to say, "I am not in need." What he says in verse 11 is this: "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Paul says that throughout his life, through the different things that he has gone through, he has learned something. He has learned that regardless of what is going on, regardless of how he feels, he is to be content. That word is a verb. That means that he must actively place himself in a certain state of mind. And if you don't know what the definition of being content is, the definition of being content means that I no longer need anything else outside of what I have. So Paul has nothing, yet he can say, "I must be content with the nothing that I have." There's a problem that we have as Christians. The problem that we have is how we associate God's power. Because here's the thing, we associate God's power with blessings. Not only blessings, but we associate God's power with physical blessings. God is with me when I have the money. God is with me when I have the house. God is with me when I have enough food. But when those things are lacking, I, for some strange reason, begin to think that God is no longer blessing me. I, for some strange reason, think that God is leaving me alone. And the only way for me to get God to give me things is to act right. I've got to be a good person. I've got to pray. I've got to go to church on Sabbath. I've got to give tithe so that God can give me the stuff. What we don't realize is that is not worship of God. That is the worship of stuff. That is the worship of things. I just want God's power so that I can get the things so that I can be happy. Paul recognizes that this mindset is dangerous because that means that I don't see God as the ruler of my life. I don't see God as the Lord and Savior of my life. Really, that's who I am. I just need God to give me the stuff to continue to be happy. For me, God is a genie. He's someone that I come to when I need things, but when everything is going fine, God can stay over there. That's what Paul is trying to get at. It's a dangerous space to be, because when we're in that space, we've dethroned God and we've now placed ourselves where God should be. It's backwards, and it's been like this since the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and then they decided that their thirst and hunger for knowledge was more important than listening to God's word. You see, what happened when Adam and Eve sinned, and they brought this strange new value into the world, that value was human comfort, the things that make me happy, the things that make me better, and these are things that God doesn't necessarily see as important as we do. Now, of course you would say, Pastor, this is all strange. I hear you saying that I shouldn't necessarily want to go for money. I'm not saying that you shouldn't want to make money. I'm not saying that you shouldn't want to be comfortable in life. There's nothing inherently wrong with those things. But when those things take the over the importance of God in your life, that's when the problems start. Because the thing is, there are things that we do when we're not content that are not right. There's a reason that people lie. There's a reason that people steal. It's because there's something that they want and they're willing to do anything that they need to get it. Not being content is a sin problem. Now, what Paul did not say was, I have learned in all situations that I am not to be stressed out. Paul did not say that I have learned that in every situation I am not to get depressed by what I'm going through. Paul did not say that I have learned in every situation that I will never feel pain. No. Paul says that in every situation I will be content. You see, being content is not ignoring the pain and the struggles and the suffering that you're going through. As a matter of fact, when you read Philippians, Paul begins to talk about someone who was sick to the point of death. And he said that God spared him because if this person died, it would have been sorrow on top of sorrow. That means that Paul was feeling sorrow already. And God spared him by not heaping more sorrow on top of what he was already going through. Contentment has nothing to do with how you feel. Contentment has to do with you losing hope. Do I trust God enough to believe that in spite of my deficiencies, I can still make it through? Do I believe that in spite of the fact that I don't have enough, at least from what I see, to make it, that God will still provide all of my needs? Now, it's easy to say all these things when you have everything, right? It's easy to get up here and preach this sermon and say these words when everything is going fine in your life. But that's why Paul qualifies what he's saying with the next verse. This is what he says in verse 12. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In every and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. What Paul is saying is this contentment issue is not an issue that only comes about when I am needing something. This contentment issue was also something that comes up when I have everything that I need. You see, contentment, again, is the idea that I need something more than what I already have. Go out and ask any rich person if they are content with everything that they have. They'll tell you they're not. But here's the thing. There's something else that people are searching for. And what happens is we start replacing the things that we need with the things that we want. Now, what do I mean? I'm looking for comfort in my life. So instead of looking for comfort from God and looking at Him to fill these spaces in my heart, I say what will fill me is money. Now, remember I was talking about thieving and stealing things? You've heard of poor people stealing, right? Haven't you also heard of rich people also stealing? We talk about Wall Street all the time and all the money that they've swindled people out of. This contentment issue has nothing to do with the amount of stuff that you have. It has to do with the deficiencies that are in your heart. And so instead of turning to God to fill up myself with what I need to make it through every day, I fill it with stuff. You see, whether you're rich or you're poor, when someone dies in your family, you still feel sadness. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, when you argue with someone and you're upset with someone, anger strikes you just the same. When you are stressed, you can be stressed with all the money in the world or stressed without all the money in the world. It does not matter. So if I can still feel the same way, whether I'm rich or whether I'm poor, that means there's a solution that cannot be solved with things that are physical. There's something else that I need to fill in the gaps. There's something else that I need to fill my heart. There's something else that is empty, that is deep inside, that no clothes can cover, that no money can buy, that no food can fill. But Paul says that he has found the secret to this question. And what's interesting is in Greek, this word secret, it's actually a term used for mystics. You hear about all these secret societies and all these different mystical people that are trying to find the meaning of life. And they say, I found the secret to what it means to be alive. I found the secret of what it means to be happy. There was an entire book written on the secret. Paul says he found it. And this is what he says. Verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What Paul is saying here is, I can go through struggle, but I can also go through plenty because I recognize that what I need doesn't come from me, it comes from the person that is residing inside of me. When Paul says, I can do all things, he's saying, I have the ability to be able to make it through all this stuff. I have the ability while I'm sitting in this jail cell to encourage someone else. I have the ability when I've been stripped of all of my freedom and everything that makes me human to give someone else hope. Why? Because there's something that is deep inside of me that is giving me the power to do it. When it says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, that him who strengthens me is actually just one word in Greek. It's a word that Paul kind of smushed together and made up. It's saying that there is a strength that is in me that does not come from me. The best way that I can describe it is you guys see the commercials with the Energizer Bunny, right? I haven't seen the Energizer Bunny in a little while, but the Energizer Bunny is just the funniest thing in the world. It's a pink rabbit that rides around with a little drum set, and he's just banging on those drums. That commercial has lasted 4 years. Now, granted, I'm 31. I'm not super old, but I've seen that commercial for my entire life. And the message is always the same. With that battery, that Energizer battery in that bunny, he'll keep going and going and going and going. But the thing about the commercial is, it's not about the bunny. Yes, the bunny has all the energy and the bunny is running around doing this fun stuff. But the commercial is about the battery that is inside of the bunny. You see, the bunny has the ability to bang on the drums. The bunny has the ability to ride around on his little skates and look cool with its sunglasses, but the fact is that there's something inside the bunny that is giving the bunny power. There's something that is inside the bunny that is giving the bunny strength. It's the Energizer battery. And that's what the commercial is about. Ladies and gentlemen, we are all Energizer bunnies running around in this world, trying to figure out how we can get from point A to point B. But you see, there's something that is deep inside of us. There is something that keeps us energized, something that keeps us going. In spite of what we see, in spite of the struggles that come, there is something inside that continues to give me energy. That thing is Jesus. When you have accepted Jesus Christ into your life, when you've accepted him into your heart, the power that is now within you comes directly from the throne of God. But the thing is, this power that's within you is not the power to go and get the things that you want. It's not the power to go get extra food. The power that is inside of you is strength to say, I can make it in spite of what I see. The strength that comes from Christ that is within you is not the strength to go and do that new interview and get that new job. The strength that comes from Christ that is within you is the strength to say, even when the interviews don't come, even when the jobs don't come, I can hold my head high because I know I can make it. The strength that is within you that comes from Christ is not the strength to buy a new home. It's the strength to say, even if I lose my home, I know that I'll always have a home in heaven. The strength that is within you that comes from Christ is not the strength to say I can go out and make a bunch of money. The strength is there to say that even if I lose all of my money, I know that Jesus is going to provide all of my needs. The strength that Jesus gives is not the strength of dreams. The strength that Jesus gives is the strength of promise. It is the strength of hope. When I have that strength, I have hope. I have hope that Jesus came to this earth. I have hope that Jesus died for me. I have hope that Jesus rose for me. I have hope that he is going to come again, that even if I die, I'll have a new body. I've got hope that there is eternal life waiting for me. I have hope that even if my family dies, I'll see them again. I have hope to know that God loves me enough to look at me in spite of my sins, wash me clean, and make me whole. I have hope today that God will care for every one of my needs. It's the strength that keeps me going from day to day. It's the only reason that I can stand up here and not break down in front of you in spite of the struggles that I'm going through. I can see and know that Jesus is working in me, not because I'm not going through, but because I am going through and I'm making it. Some of you have been through some stuff this morning and you're still here. Somehow you found the strength to wake up in the morning. Somehow you found the strength to put your shoes on. Somehow you found the strength to get yourself ready in the mirror. Somehow you found the strength to hop into your cars and come here this morning in spite of the fact that you didn't want to see any smiling faces. In spite of the fact that you didn't want to be around people because you've been so stressed and depressed by what you've been going through. But the strength that is residing in you has pulled you to this place, knowing that if I come and get recharged yet again, I can go through the week. I can make it through my day today. I can stare that mean coworker in the face and know that even though they hate me, God still loves me. I can look at my check and know, hey, as soon as it comes in, it's going to be gone. But God is still going to provide. I can go and visit my sick relatives and say, even though your body is dying, you will be made whole. I can go to the doctor without fear because there was a strength inside of me that knows that even if this body fails, even if my heart goes down, even if my brain ceases to function, in the word, God has promised me something else, something better, and I will no longer experience the pain that I'm in. There is strength that is within you. And Jesus says, Paul says in this letter that you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Because of Christ, you know how to be brought high. Because of Christ, you know how to be brought low, because there's a strength that is inside of you that will never go dry. It will never go out. it will always be there. There's a song that I would always remember hearing as I'm growing up. There's something within me. There's something within me that holdeth the reins. Something within me that banishes pain. There's something within me. All I know, I thank my God, I've got something within me. You see, the power of God, the power of Jesus Christ is not the power to give you physical stuff. It's the power to survive in a sinful world. The power to know that regardless of what I see with my eyes, there is something unseen that is keeping me all together. God loves each and every one of you. And if this morning you were struggling, trying to find out where your strength was going to come from, know that there is a promise in the Bible that says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God bless you.